Well, greetings this morning. We're so glad to be with you again. My name's Brad, and this is my wife, Patty. And I wanted Patty to come up as well this morning and give you greetings.
We are so blessed to be here. And I wanted to share, you know, we've been blessed this fall. We had another grandchild, and God has been so faithful. It's just wonderful when you see family is just, oh, you just wrap your arms and go, this is an example of God's love. And how I just wanted to tell you and the worship team, thank you all for bringing the presence of the Lord this morning. Mm. And that's what I wanted to say is he is so here, his presence. And just as we walked up, I wanted to say, just everyone take a deep breath and go, he's with us, and he wants you to have that peace.
God with us.
That passes all understanding.
Amen.
And he hears our every little, he knows us so well, and it's the Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he is so present here. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. It's good, huh? Good. Patty, would you join me just for a second? You guys, could I just take a second? I just felt like just praying for Alan and Shannon this morning. I don't know why, but I just really, you were on my heart, and I just wanted to, could we just lay hands on you and just bless you guys?
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for these precious, precious people.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for Alan and for Shannon and the heart that you've put in them to glorify your name from the inside out. Lord, we thank you that that you're the one who put this heart in them, that you birthed this, that you rebirthed them. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to let your divine health be their portion.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for these precious servants, and we just pray your anointing and your blessing over them. Lord, let it impact their neighborhood. Amen. Let it impact those that they come in contact with. Let it especially impact their families, their extended families as well.
Yes.
Lord, even those who would not know you at this moment in their families, Lord, we pray for divine appointments, opportunities for Alan and Shannon to share the good news.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Let this come soon, Lord. Let this even come soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. Well, let's see. First of all, your pastors, Kevin and Sherry, are, if they aren't at this moment, they are getting close to getting on board on a Mexican cruise for a week. Well, we sit in 42-degree weather. They're in 80 degrees, but we don't covet, do we? We don't covet. No, no. let's see. But if you haven't known, probably went down the prayer chain and all of that, but Pastor Sherry tried to ride a magic carpet in the hallway and slipped and fell and broke her shoulder. So anyway, she's in a great deal of pain, but she's fully expecting to recover on board. So it should be a joyful experience, although please be lifting her up. She has definitely been in a lot of pain. In fact, Lord, we just thank you right now for Pastors Kevin and Sherry. Yeah. We do pray your blessing over them as they take some much earned and needed time to just recuperate and get refreshed. And Lord, we pray for your divine healing over them. Lord, we pray that you just repair Sherry's shoulder to better than new.
Yes.
Lord, where any cracks are and any of that stuff, Lord, you just fuse those bones together to be better than new. Would you please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Even when we've been faithless, you've been faithful to us. And we just thank you, Lord, for your graciousness and your mercy in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm not in a hurry this morning. I know you probably are, and I'm the only thing between you and, the Seahawks. And, yeah, being able to see. Bless your hearts. Thank you so much for coming, you guys. You are saints. You are saints for being here, and I'm sure your DVR is working just great. So, anyway, let's see. Let's jump into the Word this morning. Why don't we? Let's see. I'll start out by asking a question. Have you ever made? No, I have to be obedient. I have to be obedient this morning. You know, the last song that we sang, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And, you know, we can't take that for granted, that He is Lord, He is Lord, and we can sing a song and expect that that's the case. But I just want you to know that whatever is Lord right now in your life, Jesus is so far greater than that. Something or someone is Lord at this very moment in time in our lives. And it's easy to come to a church and proclaim Jesus as Lord, but when we're out there and when we're living behind closed doors, that's when the rubber really meets the road, isn't it? So I have struggled in my life about knowing whether Jesus is truly Lord when I've said some things to Patty over the years, or I've had attitudes, or I've done things that clearly demonstrated otherwise. That clearly Jesus wasn't Lord, because how could a person commit adultery and yet Jesus be Lord? Well, at that period in my life, clearly He wasn't. And so I idolized another human being and was outside the covenant of my marriage. And I shudder to think if I died at that moment in time, where I'd be. But thank God for His mercy, and He continuously calls out for us. He continuously loves us with unconditional love. And I just want to give invitation this morning that if you can honestly be honest with yourself and say that someone or something else has been Lord of my life, and I want Jesus to be Lord again, could you just all close your eyes, and this is just before you and the Lord. And if that's you this morning, if the Lord's tugging at your heart, I have not a manipulative bone in my body at this moment. I don't want to manipulate anything. I just want to be obedient and make sure that we are just saying, Lord, we just want You to be Lord. Something else or someone else has been Lord in my life. And again, would You be Lord? Would you just raise your hand? If that's you, if that is you, praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. I've seen those hands. God sees those hands. Yes. Father, right now, today, we once again dedicate ourselves to You. We once again put those things and those people, and we take them off the throne of our lives and we place you back there. We put you back in your rightful place. Jesus, would you be Lord of all? Because you're either Lord of all or you're not Lord at all. Thank you, Lord. Draw us close to you, Lord. Draw us close to you and never let us go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Well, okay, here we go. Have you ever made a promise to someone and not kept that promise? Not really followed through on. Oh, yes, I'll pray for you. Absolutely. Oh, I totally forgot to pray for you. How did it go, by the way? Well, I did not count, but fortunately someone else did. There are well over 3,000 promises that God makes in the Bible. 3,573. Who was the crazy guy who, you know, I mean, I'm thankful, but wow, that's amazing. 3,573 of God's promises in the Bible. And fortunately, he does not forget. Let me just give you a few of them. Let's let the word just bathe you this morning. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a promise. Yes. What a promise. Thank you, Lord. In fact, Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. It's his promise. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's his promise. If, then. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room for you to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Wow, what a promise. What a promise. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Lord, let the word just bathe over us this morning. Let your promises this morning just soak into us. Lord, help us to not just take for granted when we read your word that we just gloss over it because, oh, I know that verse. I've memorized that verse. But Lord, let us take the words that are in your word to heart. In fact, this morning, God has spoken promises to you. He's either used his word, the Bible, or there's been a prophetic word that's been spoken over you. Promises that have been spoken over you. Or you've received them when you were in prayer. When you were praying. You were earnestly praying about something. God spoke a promise to you. Any number of ways that God's promises can come. The question this morning is, are there some of those promises that have not yet been fulfilled? Not a rhetorical question. I know that there are some in my life that we're still waiting to see come to pass. Still promises that God has given us that still have yet to be fulfilled. Well, I would submit that as I was praying about this word for Grace Christian Center and for the people at Grace Christian, 2016 is the year to possess some of those promises.
Yes, amen.
For possessing promises, let's go to God's Word. Let's go to His promised Word. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Will we? Here we go. So to set it up, as you're going there, God's people have been freed from 400 years of slavery. How's that feel? They were in Egypt, as we know, for 400 years. And when they're released from slavery, they travel. They settle at Mount Sinai. 2.5 million people travel 227 miles, about 227 miles from Egypt to Mount Sinai. And from their arrival at Mount Sinai until this next step is 390 days. So they travel from Egypt to Mount Sinai. I don't know how long that takes. I didn't look that up. I'm sorry. But once they settle at Mount Sinai, it's 390, which is about 13 months. Okay, they're in Mount Sinai for 13 months. And remember, in Exodus 23, God says that He will send an angel before the people to take them to the land that He has prepared for them. He says that He will be an enemy to their enemies, an adversary to their adversaries. Little by little, He would help them possess the land. He'll help them take hold of the land that God has for them. So if God is for you, who can be against you, right?
That's right.
Amen. He will be with you. So what happens next in Numbers 13 is absolutely crucial. The Lord speaks to Moses, and He sends chief... Now, I know that this is scripture that you are very familiar with, but it's about what God put on my heart for you today, okay? So here we go. So He sends chief people from each tribe of Israel to spy out the land God has promised, the land of Canaan. Mount Sinai to Canaan is 316 miles. You don't get in your 65 Chevy and just go. Not back then, anyway. And exactly, your two-hump camel. So, Caleb and Joshua were in that elite group. So for 40 days, they are to go and spy out the land. So in this covert operation, Moses asks them four things. Number one, see what the land is. Is it good or bad? Is it rich or poor? You know, check it out. Check it out for us. Number two, are the people who live there strong or weak? Are there a lot of them or are there just a few? Are they wimps like us, or are they big honking dudes? Number three, are the cities camps or are they strongholds? Are they, in other words, are they fortified? Are they, or are they easy to take? And number four, are there trees? Serious? Are there trees? Well, you figure they're probably, like Bill, harvesting those trees to build stuff, to use it for things, to be shade for their livestock, etc. We don't know exactly, but I mean, you can surmise that trees have much value. Look at where you live. I mean, hello. We love the trees here. Moses also said to be of good courage. And oh, by the way, bring back samples of the fruit. We'd like to check out the fruit. After spying out the land, it's 430 days now since they landed in Mount Sinai. So that's slightly over 14 months. And God's ready to lead 2.5 million people into the promised land. 317 miles. Here we go. Mount Sinai to Canaan, the promised land. Here we go. Let's read the report. Numbers 13, verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. So to travel over, I mean, I just was kind of processing this, but to go from Mount Sinai to Canaan and back, check out the land and come back, was it 40 days that they took to get there and back and spy out? Yeah, I mean, or was it get there, spy out the land for 40 days, then come back? Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, after 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. They came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the people of Israel. 2.5 million people. I don't know how many people are in here this morning. Not 2.5 million. And they didn't have amplification. So these guys had to have good lungs, didn't they? Okay. So, let's see. Of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. Oh, yeah, by the way, let's check this out. In verse 23, and they came to the valley of Eshcol, and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster that the people of Israel cut down from there. Those were honking grapes, weren't they? Those are honking grapes when two people have to carry them with a single vine or cluster. That's huge. Anyway. In verse 27, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Deuterites, the dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell in this sea and along the Jordan, and all the ites. Yikes, yikes, lots of ites. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them. 14 verse 1. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and all the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, Would that we had died in the land of Egypt! Or would that we had died in this wilderness! Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Thank God for Moses and Aaron. Before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then the next verse, then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. So they brought back word, showed them the fruit, humongously wonderful, giant monstrous fruit, get a load of the size of that fruit. Number two, the land is flowing with milk and honey. And then number three, however, look at the size of the people who eat that enormous fruit. Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites, Yikes. Yikes, look at the ites. So what is it that caused the chiefs? Now these were not little people. These were not, you know, just random people. These were the chiefs, chief people of the tribes who were sent to spy out the land. What caused these chiefs, to give this kind of a report? I mean, why did they not all agree with Caleb and Joshua and say, absolutely, no, you guys, listen, 2.5 million people, we can do this. God is with us. We can surely possess the land that He's promised us. He said an angel would go before us anyway. We're not saying that it'll be easy, but we're saying that it will be worth it. Well, in a word, fear. In fact, the name Hittite, the Hebrew word for Hittite is chittai, which means fear, terror, discourage. Hittite means sons of terror. The Hittites were descendants of Heth, whose name means terror. The word terror refers to an extreme manifestation of fear. The Hittite Empire was one of the largest in ancient times, and its people were very strong, spreading out over an immense area. They were very large and intimidating people. Terror is when you're walking down a dark alley at night and you don't know if somebody is about to leave out. From either side and attack you. These spirits attack the emotions and are the spirits behind nightmares and non-rational phobias like claustrophobia, exaggerated fear of dogs, fear of being in the dark. So anyone who's ever suffered from a phobia can testify, terror produces a sense of deep emotional despair and torment and causes you to wish that you could die. In fact, it's what causes people to feel suicidal. When I was in the fourth grade, my younger brother, Kevin, Pastor Kevin, I know that sounds terrible, doesn't it? Sorry. No, Pastor Kevin. We were in grade school, and I had the mumps, a case of the mumps. Anybody ever had the mumps when they were growing up? Well, I had a case of the mumps, and I was kind of a hyperactive child. So the mumps started out here, and then they moved. Remember that mumps can move? Well, they moved and ended up down here, and I could barely breathe. I had very little left in my throat to be able to breathe, air. And so I had to breathe through my nose. And I remember my parents were going through a divorce at the time. We didn't know it, but there was just just absolute terror and fear in our home. I was overcome by it, and I would wake up with terror. I was sweating, and all I could do was just jump up and down and cry and yell. That's all I could do. I remember I had a girlfriend. We went on a date to a restaurant up at the top of the C1st Bank building. The Marabu Room, I think it was called. Something like that. It was on the 50th floor of the C1st building in Seattle. And in order to get there, you had to go up a flight of one elevator, and then you had to go to another elevator and get up the other elevator. Well, we got up the first elevator, we got on the second one, and it stopped on the 33rd floor. The elevator just stopped, went dark. Just stopped. And I didn't know it, but this girl, when she gets afraid, she just laughs and just is like this. And so here I am with my date, and she's going nuts. And I don't know what to do except, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes later, the elevator started again, thank God. Because I don't know what I would have done. I didn't know what to do. Anyway, so terror will respond to fear and terror in different ways. Well, you know, but the point is, it caused 2.5 million people to stop dead in their tracks from receiving the promise that God had for them. Another big one for me has been a fear of failure. Because I've failed before. Many times. And I can look back now and see that the reason that I fear failure is because I tried to do it on my own strength and my own wisdom rather than trusting in the wisdom of the Lord and trusting in Him. But what is it worth to see breakthrough in the promises of God in your life? Extreme fear will stop you from acting on what God has created and called you to do. The Hittites dwell everywhere, and if you allow them, they'll settle down in your midst, even in the midst of a church. They'll close your mouth so you're afraid to speak. They'll close you down from getting engaged in something because you know God's put you here for that, but out of fear. Yet thank God, bringing this to the light, exposing those Hittites of fear and terror and discouragement in our midst is an opportunity for the Lord to rise now and remove them from us. To be done with fear, to be done with all this terror, so we can possess the promises that He's given us. Interesting. God encourages Joshua in Joshua 1 to not be afraid to get the land of the Hittites. God is giving Joshua the ultimate pep talk, and the only land He mentions is the land of the Hittites, and not the others mentioned in Numbers 13. Not the Jebusites, not the Amorites, not the but just the Hittites. Well, why is that? Well, because fear will stop you in your tracks. Fear will cripple you from acting and discourage you before the battle even begins. So several times the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, doesn't He? absolutely be strong and courageous. So to receive the promises God has for us, we have to let God remove all fear from us. Complete and utter destruction of the enemy is what God said in His Word. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It feels like it sometimes, but we don't. This is not a people battle, it's spiritual. And unnatural fear in our lives is not from God. The only fear we're to have is the fear and reverence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In fact, here are a couple promises in God's Word. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'd much rather have those than fear. How about you?
You bet.
Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba. Father, Daddy.
Yes.
Back to Numbers. Fortunately, Moses intercedes again for the people, or God would have wiped them out right there. I'm sick and tired of these people, Moses. I can't handle this. I can give you a better generation of people. No. God, let's hang in there with these guys. Okay. So, God does respond to the negative report, though. In Numbers 14, verse 20. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Moses, way to go, buddy. Way to intercede. I pardoned. But truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despised me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Verse 34. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a year for each day, you shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. Ouch. 40 years to travel 300 some miles. Verse 36. And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, get this, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him, by bringing up a bad report about the land, the men who brought up a bad report of the land died by a plague, boom, before the Lord. Of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive. Yeah, I'll think again about sending a bad report about something. I think I'll think about that from here on out. Now, we could focus on all the negative aspects of this message, but hey, let's focus on the encouraging elements of this scripture that we can apply to possessing our promised land. First, there's Caleb and Joshua's reports versus everyone else's. Caleb says, hey guys, we agree with what God told us before. We got this. With God's help, we can do it now. We can, in fact, possess our promised land. It's only going to take us 300 miles to get there. Everyone else gave what is described as a bad report. So for the next 40 years, everybody aged 20 and above ends up dying in the wilderness. Only their offspring will live, plus Caleb and Joshua. In fact, everybody who went to spy out the land, all of them, of course, died immediately by plague. Boom! I mean, would that shake you up? Would you just be thanking the Lord if you're Caleb right now? I made a good choice. Whew. I mean, how easy would it have been for Caleb to just say, oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, well, yeah, they are big guys. I get, I, yeah, we probably better not do anything. I guess my fellow chiefs are right after all. I'll let them drown out my noise. But no, the next chapter, Caleb and Joshua tear their clothes and still hang in there. They said, no, you guys, no, we got this. With God's help, we got this. So Caleb's about 40 years old when all this takes place, as we know. So for the next 40 years, Caleb and Joshua have to participate in the wilderness journey with them. Wait a second, that's not fair. Through no fault of their own, the promise is delayed significantly. That puts Caleb at 80 when they finally cross over the promised land. And then he fights with the rest of the children of Israel for another 5 years to help them secure their pieces of their promised land. So fast forward to Joshua chapter 14. You still with me, team?
Yeah.
Okay. Joshua 14, verse 6. When you get there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Okay, here we go. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers, the fellow chiefs, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Yet, get this, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me. At 85 years old, he's still wholly following after the Lord, giving a good report, isn't he? And I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Down at the last verse of that chapter, and the land had rest from war. Oh, at 85, that's what I want. Give me my mountain! Give me my mountain! Perhaps the Lord will be with me and help me all the way! All the way! Guess what? These promises that God has given you are not just for you, but they're for future generations. The things that the Lord has spoken to this church are not just for you, but for future people who are coming into this place. There is a work going on here. There is a work that's going on in you. There's a work that's going on in your families. You can trust the Lord for the promises that He's given you. Can you hear me today? They're worth waiting for even after 45 years, aren't they? Or however much time that you've been waiting. How do you know if the promises you have are something that you're supposed to continue to contend for or you're finally to let go of? Well, here it is. If they're God's promises, you never let go. Caleb is our example. There are many others in the Word. Joseph, Abraham and Sarah, many others. So how do we go about applying this word right now in our lives? I'll give you 7 things real quick, and then we'll be done. Thank you for hanging in there with me, team. We okay? Everybody okay? Okay, here we go. So, number one, easy peasy, wholly and completely run after the Lord. Chase after Him. And here's the key. Chase after Him and not the possession. Not necessarily the promise, but you chase after Him and He'll see that the promise comes to pass. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So we wholly and completely run after Jesus and He'll take care of everything else for us. Number two, if the Lord has given you a promise, never let go. Like the cat in the poster.
Yeah.
Hang in there. Because guaranteed there will be opposition. There will be giants in the land. Number three, you don't ever have to retire from serving the Lord. You can thrive at 85. Is that great?
Yeah.
And even older. I mean, Caleb had to go then and fight the inhabitants of his land in order for him to possess his promised land as well. So he was well over 85 when he finally settled in the land and future generations were able to enjoy the benefits from that. Number four, remember, you can't fulfill His promise. Only He can. With your cooperation, He can fulfill that promise. Number five, God's timing is perfect and yours isn't. Number six, it will not come without a fight. But just remember, the battle is the Lord's. And number seven, He will go before you to defeat the enemy so that you can win the battle and enjoy your promised land. Remember in that last verse, and the land rested from war. 5 years ago, the Lord gave me a direction for the next step in our lives. It was just a simple idea. And it was encouraging words. I didn't know what it looked like or what I was supposed to do with it. And it's still waiting to come to pass. But we're putting the finishing touches on a website and we're trusting that the Lord will show us as we go. So many times I wanted to just give up, be done with it. But we believe it's God's promise and we're expecting Him to fulfill His promise. So hopefully sometime soon I'll be able to share with you that website called Encouraging Words. Are there, as I mentioned at the beginning, promises God has given you and haven't quite been fulfilled yet? What has He spoken to you, either through His Word, when you were in prayer, earnestly seeking Him, either prophetically, some other way, that we can contend with you together for? What I'd like to do is ask you this week to write down those promises. And then bring them with you next Sunday so that we can pray with you and contend for those promises to come to pass in 2016. Can you do that? Can you write down the promises that God gave you so we can agree with you for His promises to come to pass? It may be for the salvation of a loved one. It could be for something that you just felt like got put on the shelf and you've been waiting, but you feel like God's saying, now is the time. Remember, it's not something you can do in your own strength, but as you wholly follow after the Lord, He'll bring these things to pass. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, that's your assignment for next week. It's going to be a participation Sunday where we can bring our promises before the Lord and agree together as brothers and sisters for with you and for you. Fortunately for us, unfortunately for you, we will be with you next Sunday. So, and we are excited. We're grateful that you came this morning and trust that the Lord imparted something to you. Amen. Amen. Can we be standing together this morning? Does this make sense, everybody? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, well, we're honored to be here, believe me. Worship team, if you've got a song to lead us in, we're honored to have you.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be
sure.
Great.
Just to send them out happily, how about
yes.
Step by step?
Father, right now we thank you for your word that we can hold on to and press into. Lord, the promises that you've given us, we pray that you bring them back to our remembrance and that we'd be able to faithfully write them down. Lord, we know that it's not something that we can do in our own strength. It's not something that we can manufacture. It's something that just absolutely popped out at us, and we know that that verse you gave to us, or that prophetic word that you spoke over us, we know that it was absolutely from you. Lord, we pray that even as we go from here today, that you'd bring them back to our remembrance and that we would uncover them once again. We would be filled once again with hope that you would bring these promises to pass as we wholly seek after you and make you our focus of attention and affection. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you, worship team.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody, and go Hawks.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Sunday, everybody. Thank you.